try to work with others, to be collaborative and to take care not only about yourself, but also in the team, and to see how you can achieve also the goals of the team. I think these are really important pillars that help to better integrate in the team.
Hello and welcome to Inside Deutschland, your guide to careers in Germany, season 2. This podcast provides you with insight into working in Germany and tips on how to navigate opportunities and challenges across the German labor market. I'm your host, Jessica Schuler, a Germany-focused career coach, trainer, and international educator. As part of the Inside Deutschland podcast, I interview people from all over the globe who've been successful in Germany and who have interesting insights and expertise on what working in Germany is actually like, so you can learn from their experience. Starting a new job is very exciting, especially if you're an international. Not only are you facing a new working environment in a new company, but you also have a whole new working culture in a different country. You may be asking yourself or wondering, what's expected of you? What are the do's and don'ts in the onboarding process? How can you best connect with your colleagues? And what do Germans do during their lunch break? But before we start, what's your experience been when it comes to onboarding and integrating into your new German office and company? We'd love to read your comments, so please let us know. To help support you with integrating into your new German company, I spoke to two experts on this subject, Nevena Paisler and Eva Tarabici. Nevena is an intercultural career coach based in Bonn, Germany, and she's originally from Bulgaria. Eva is a German business coach and intercultural trainer. Together, they both share years of experience working as expats in various companies, as well as in supporting German employers with their internationalization efforts. And this year, they founded Growing Together in NRW to support the thriving expat community in North Rhine-Westphalia and to help internationals and companies in the region with the integration process. Let's start with having each of you introduce yourselves.
Yeah, hi. Thanks so much for having us. I'm Eva Tarabici. I'm a business coach and intercultural trainer since 2016. And I work with international professionals, expats, as well as companies and teams that have a lot of international employees or are sending a lot of people abroad. I've been an expat myself for 16 plus years in 5 countries and 2 continents. And I think I have experienced it from all kinds of roles as an expat kid, a student, an employee, a self-employed person, also as a trailing spouse for a while. And I've also had my 2 kids abroad in 2 different countries. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's enough about me. So I'd love to hand to my co-founder, Nevena.
Thank you, Eva. So yeah, my name is Nevena Paisler. And if I were to describe very quickly myself, I would say I'm Bulgarian originally, but I already become a little bit of German too.
I can relate to that.
At least culturally. And I grew up in Bulgaria, in Varna on the Black Sea, and I studied there economics. And during that time, I already traveled a lot, and I lived in 2 countries. One was Turkey and one Poland for Erasmus, as an Erasmus student. And I already realized I really want to know more from the world. And it was clear I want to continue my experience abroad. And I decided to come to Germany, and that was in 2007. So I'm already like 18 years abroad, but Germany became also my home of choice, I would say. Mm. And yeah, during that time, what I did, so I did the MBA here, and then I did the career 12 years in different companies in the telecommunication area, and also in media and in water quality. And yeah, so I experienced a lot. So after that, in, I think it was 2022, I decided to become self-employed because I really wanted to follow more my passion of supporting other people to grow and to develop. And I decided to become a coach, intercultural coach, and also career coach. And since then, I support international professionals, mainly in Germany, to succeed. And I work in individual and also group settings with them. Yeah, so that's about me. Thank you.
You two founded Growing Together and NRV Together, as I already mentioned. Can you tell me a little bit more about that project?
Why don't we start with the most important part, the purpose of the project? Yeah, so like Navina said, we met and we share common experiences that we made as expats. And what we wanted to create is something that helps internationals that really want to integrate deeply here. Yeah. So, we created an initiative, which is called Growing Together in NRV. And this initiative has two purposes mainly. One is to support the expats, the internationals that come here to overcome their challenges. And we'll probably get into that later, so that they can be successful in their work here, but also in their social integration. And so that in the end, they can then live a happy life here and maybe even choose to stay longer here in this lovely region. And then the second purpose is also to support the local economy. Yeah, because we know that for many companies, they're now looking to employ more international professionals, and they put a lot of resource into searching them, into integrating them, onboarding them. And then when that doesn't work well, they lose them again. And that is obviously a huge pity. It causes loss of money, but also loss of motivation of everybody involved. And so our second purpose or co-purpose is to support the companies so that they can keep their international professionals and employees happy and have them well integrated and have a long-term engagement from them also.
Thank you for telling us a little bit about the program. I think it's really important that you do focus on this part that comes after the job offer, which is most people are focusing on what happens ahead of time, right? How do I get that job? How do I get into that company? And then once you get into the company or the new organization, it's like, oh, how do I, you know, integrate with among my colleagues, right? How do I deal with my boss? But then also outside of work, a lot of people are moving alone for these jobs, even if they have partners. And families, they oftentimes have to make the move first by themselves. And so then it's like, how do I make friends? How do I figure out, you know, what doctors I can go to, all of that. Mm-hmm. And that can compound over time and create a lot of stress that then impacts someone at work.
Yeah, exactly.
This is also what we see. And we see that many internationals feels really lonely here, mm-hmm. but they don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. And they try to solve their problems by themselves. And in most of the cases, this is not really enough.
Yeah. And it's really hard to actually admit, oh, I'm struggling with something. And if you don't see that other people struggle with it too, you may feel like you're the only one struggling with it. And then obviously not dare to voice it. Yeah. And so that was really nice to see that that helped, that group cohesion.
And we carried out the program last year, the first time, 2023. We had 22 people who wanted to join, and we started the program with 11 participants, and they were from 10 different cultures. Mm-hmm. So very different background in terms of culture, but also professionally. They worked in different business sectors, and they had also different experience in terms of living in Germany. So some of them were just coming in Germany, and some of them already live like 10 years here.
Mm-hmm. And they're still not feeling integrated. Yeah. So let's transition and talk a little bit about that. What do you think the main challenges are that internationals face when they're trying to integrate into their new organization or company?
Yeah, so we actually did some work for ourselves there to really back that up with reports and also carried out our own survey, because this is not so easy to grasp for people who have never been an expat often. And we really find it's important to know this. So thanks so much for asking. And in our survey and also in then our work with our clients, we saw six main challenges. First one that was mentioned was the social integration in Germany. Yeah, really this feeling of I'm isolated, I feel lonely, I may still get along with my colleagues, but I feel like I have zero or very little local integration. I don't know my neighbors. I don't know how to find friends here locally and how to meet these Germans and create relationships. Point two is language. Yeah. So it's not only about learning the language itself, which is already a challenge, but also mastering up the self-confidence to really go out and speak it when you don't have a perfect level yet. Mm-hmm. As well as also something that was mentioned a lot to us was, I don't know if my language understanding is good enough to be culturally sensitive in my communication. And I don't want to be rude. So I prefer to speak English. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there I know what I'm saying, what I'm doing, if my humor passes or not. Yeah. These kinds of things. Challenge number three was cultural shock and a lack of cultural orientation. Yeah. So if you don't know much about German culture, you may need some knowledge about it in order to not have cultural shocks being so hard on you. But you may also need to work on your resilience, yeah, and push that up, because many people walk out of a culture shock with a lower self-confidence. And we really saw that also with the clients and expats that were in our program, that just due to a cultural misunderstanding, you can feel like, oh, I don't belong here and I don't know how to behave and this is not right. I must be doing everything wrong. Mm-hmm. Or they hate me. Yeah. Yeah. And then it spirals. Yeah, exactly. Number four is networking. How do I business network with these Germans? They're so different. Yeah. Number five is career. So we saw a lot of frustration due to the limitations of English language career options. So when people were looking for a job or wanting to reorient, that could be a big barrier that they were hitting. And then number six sounds very general, but it's going very, very deep. It's unhappiness. So in our survey, there were really quite a few people saying, I am generally unhappy with where I am.
Why?
And how my life is. Probably due to the first five. Yeah. So I don't feel integrated. I don't find friends. All I do is work. Yeah, I have nice benefits and a nice salary, but somehow I don't feel like this is me and I belong here. Yeah. So we discovered this big need to really work also on the redefinition of happiness. What does it mean for me to be happy? How can I become happy, even though it's maybe not what I expected exactly? And which active steps can I do to be the master of my own fate, kind of? Yeah. So which steps can I do to become happy here? Or maybe to look for where I go next, but ideally, yeah, to become happy here. Yeah.
So if we think about our listeners, is there anything that you would recommend to them when they're preparing in advance for a new job in Germany? So they've landed the job. They now know that there's a process that they're going to go through. It includes some sticky steps that are not very comfortable. Beyond, you know, figuring out health insurance and registering with the city, what should they be thinking about as they're starting their first new job?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning those sticky steps, you call them, because they are often so present. All these relocation topics, yeah, and the bureaucratic steps that you have to do, that it's very easy to kind of over focus on them and forget what happens after. And so besides all of these bureaucratic steps, what we think is important is that while you have maybe been hired for your expertise and the way that you bring in your specialization, your expertise and your knowledge may be similar on the professional level, you will very probably be working in a completely new cultural environment. Yeah. And that is obviously also different from region to region in Germany and from company to company. But just reading up, preparing, getting as much cultural info and input as you can on your destination is a really good prep step that you can do and that you shouldn't forget about in all of this chaotic mess that bureaucracy can sometimes be. Yeah.
And then I think it's really important first to observe, to listen and to be curious. Mm-hmm. Be curious and listen first before you act, if possible, and then ask a lot of questions. Because in the beginning, it's okay to ask questions because you are new and everyone will expect mm-hmm. to ask questions, especially when it comes to organizational stuff. So, for example, if you don't understand something, it's better to ask instead of, you know, hiding and thinking, okay, I'm going to somehow cover that. And then the third thing that is very important is to build a trust. So how you do that, there is a very nice model that we also talk about in our program. It's called AIB model, which means ability, integrity, mm-hmm. and benevolence. Mm-hmm. Benevolence, like maybe you know this. And this is kind of international model on how to build trust. Of course, for every country, that's different. And for every culture is different. But a couple of things, I would say they're more or less common. So one thing is when it comes to abilities, really to show what you have learned, and also your experiences and what you can do. So how you can make an impact in the company, that's really important. Also, in terms of, let's say, integrity, it's really important in Germany to be, let's say, on time. That's one of the most thing it's really common and everyone know that. But also to be reliable and to be committed to your tasks and what is expected from you, regardless what happens. So this is how you can build trust and benevolence, or let's say also compassion. It's more about taking care of others. So to try to work with others, to be collaborative and to take care not only about yourself, but also in the team, and to see how you can achieve also the goals of the team. So I think these are really important, let's say, pillars that help to better integrate in the team.
What are some of the common mistakes that new employees make and how can they avoid them?
Yeah, really, really good question. I think one important one has been mentioned before, but it's so important. Yeah. So one common mistake is to jump right into action without observing. Yeah. And that is often because we're new. We want to prove ourselves. We might also be a bit nervous, show what we can do. And of course, that is a good attitude, but really looking at, okay, so how do things work here? Who does what? What are the relationships in the office like? What might be completely strange and weird to me because it is culturally different? Yeah. And trying to understand that is a really important first step that can easily be jumped. And then another mistake is to miss out on the opportunity of building your internal network in your company really early on. Yeah, so we can be so consumed by the tasks and by wanting to make everything right that maybe we miss out on the opportunity of meeting the other newbies or of really taking the time to get to know all the people working on our projects. And that's really, really sad, because when we're new, we have this great excuse of introducing ourselves and of wanting to learn more. And so it's fine to ask questions and go into talks with people who work with us. And I think as Germany is this very task-oriented culture, you can use the topics you work on in order to get to know people. Yeah. So you can ask them, hey, what are you doing? What has been done so far? And so on. And they will appreciate that. And then you will start building your internal network and have it much easier a month down the line.
Absolutely. Those contacts can also come in handy when you want to move around or up in the company too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you don't want to be limiting yourself right from the start. Yeah.
Exactly. On that note, are there any social events or team building activities I should join? inside or outside of my company?
Absolutely. Everything.
Everything. Sign up.
Yeah, I think it's really important because exactly, I mean, on that kind of events, you can socialize, you can meet colleagues, for example, from other departments. And then maybe you find some colleagues where you feel having more chemistry and you can start maybe to talk about something that you have in common, like a hobby. And if this event is like a sport event or something like that, it's a great opportunity to join. And the masterclasses, if you start to organize events,
then everyone's going to know who you are. Yes.
Yeah. So I would say yes, yes, yes. Do that.
Absolutely. What are the expectations regarding working hours and overtime that I should know about when I'm starting my new job in Germany?
Yeah, also very important. So to make it complicated, it really depends a bit on the company and their culture. But in many companies, the work time is recorded. And so there's a standard working week if you work full time of 38 to 40 hours. And if you work overtime, that also gets recorded and compensated. Yeah, either in more free time or in more salary. And so there really is a focus also in, and that is protected by law, by the way. Yeah, so there is a focus in the society and our legal system on protecting a good work-life balance and employees' health. And there is the acknowledgement that you need resting time and free time to preserve your health. And now comes the but. In some sectors and industries, while that is the law, we know very well that it's not respected. Yeah. So in some sectors, we do have a big expectation to work many over hours, which are then not compensated because due to legal reasons, they can't be recorded. So, yeah, in the usual work, occasional overtime, which is compensated, will be expected, but it won't be overdone. In some jobs, thinking of hospitals, for example, it's very well known that many people work many over hours.
Yeah. Also, you know, academia, for example. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. The lines are so fluid in academia, mm-hmm. right? So I could do 4 hours more of research on my Saturday.
Yes.
So to get that deadline.
Yeah. Right.
To get that funding proposal out. Yeah. Yeah. True.
I think if you are in the place where you're realizing, okay, my overtime is not being compensated with either money or free time, then that might be the point at which you should talk to a career coach because they can help you figure out if that is really a fair situation. Exactly. Yeah. And if you do want to leave that situation, what your options might be.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you could be doing a similar job, but in a slightly different environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, for example, we know many doctors who change from clinic work to working in a smaller practice or to working in a government office that also needs doctors for approbations and things like that. And then they have a more regular work. Yeah.
That's a really important thing because sometimes people, when they're, you know, in the day to day of their current job, they think, oh, this is just how this job works in Germany. Mm-hmm. But you actually have a lot of different options when it comes to organizational types. Right. Yeah. I love this question because lunch breaks are such a cultural experience. How do employees usually spend their lunch breaks in Germany?
Yeah, lunch breaks was my favorite too when it comes to integrating into the company and getting to know new people. In all the companies I worked, lunch break was a culture to also in the culture to meet others and in most of the cases to exchange like working topics. Mm-hmm. But it's very typical to meet colleagues from your team or from other departments and go for lunch together. And this is a great opportunity to connect with others. Not the only one option, but it's the usual option and everyone can do that. And so that's really great because I got a lot of connections. One thing that you have mentioned, it could be also important for your career, mm-hmm. in meeting others and also understanding what other departments are doing and how the business maybe is growing and what position is open and all of that. But it also helps you to connect with other people. And I would say generally start with talking about your responsibility and ask about what are the responsibility of the other person. But it During the lunch, maybe it comes that you start to talk about something more privately, I would say. And then in the end, you usually you get a little bit of a feeling, okay, so do we want to meet together again or not?
Yes.
And if you meet again and then again at some point, maybe you create already, maybe working friendship that can become also a friendship in the private life. And in my case, most of the friends, German friends that I have came from this kind of lunches and working together. So it's a really good option if you want to connect with locals.
It's also my favorite tool. It gives you some human connection too. If you have a desk job, it's like, oh, you can have a conversation. So we already kind of discussed a little bit, you know, about the parameters outside of work. What should people do if they want to make friends with these Germans who are not easy to make friends with for whatever reason? What's your advice?
Well, yeah, so generally making friends, like international friends, is easier. And I would say if you don't speak the language, start to build your network around international people first, because you need some support system. You need kind of sense of belonging. And once you start to speak the language, then it's important to connect also with the locals. So now, why is that difficult? Because it takes time. I mean, it takes time to learn the language. It takes time to connect. As we mentioned, that in most of the cases, German are quite reserved. Yeah, so I think it's important to understand the local dynamics. Yeah, so, and I think that's important for every country, right? And because German are really caring of their friends and caring of their family, they want to make sure that also they have enough time for their friends and they have a long-lasting relationship. So that's why it is difficult to find the friends, because it will take time and will take a couple of steps, and depending on the region, it could take years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can give you an example of a very, very strong friendship that I have with a couple of people from Baden-Württemberg, and it took years. So first we met for a lunch. Then after half a year, we met for lunch. And then we met after a year or something, maybe in some event outside of the company. Yeah? And this is how you start. And I think a lot of people just give up too quickly. Mm-hmm. That's why maybe having international environment is important in the beginning. But if you're passionate enough, then you can get to the locals. And once you have this relationship, now I'm not living in Baden-Württemberg, but this person, I'll say many of them, call me at least a couple of years and we met once and they stay connected, mm-hmm. even though I'm not living there anymore. So it's a very, very strong connection and they're really caring of how I'm doing and how I feel. And so that's fantastic, but it really takes time.
It kind of reminds me of the coconut and melon.
Yes.
Yeah. We really are coconuts.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But once you've cracked them, then you're good to go.
Yeah. I think maybe also what's important to know is, yeah, like Nivina said, these long-lasting relationships are, yeah, ideally in a German mind, ideally they're deep and they're a true engagement. You'll help each other out. You'll really care for each other. And so Germans often can count their real friends on a hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what they have around that is they're not totally isolated either, but they kind of distinguish a bit without like having a list or anything like that, but they distinguish a bit between what is a real friend and what is a gute Bekanntschaft or yeah. something like that, like a nice acquaintance. And so I think you can start by aiming to become an acquaintance. Yeah. Because that is a bit easier. And that you can do by joining in hobbies. That's why, as Nivina said when she described our program, we have this challenge where we say, hey, go out there and try to join a German Verein. Yeah, because there people do spend considerate amount of free time and they do social gatherings together. And again, they create a network where they help each other out and so on. And most of the time they won't call their club mates or Verein mates a friend. They will say, yeah, that's somebody from my Verein. And yeah. But if you can become somebody from their Verein, you already have a good base. You already have a few people you know.
Yeah. And use the international community kind of as a bridge, yeah, right? In the meantime.
Of course. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So we've been talking a lot about what it means to integrate into a German company from the perspective of an international or someone who is moving to Germany for their job. But what about the companies? What do you think the role of companies are in the integration process for internationals?
In our experience, it is a huge role that the companies play to enable their international new employees to really function well, if we want to say it like this. And ideally, they go down the comprehensive path, which means they form their local staff. Yeah, so that's about intercultural sensibilization, also opening perspectives of who is coming there and what they have been going through. Yeah, so giving them a little insight into what it means to become an expat for a job. That's usually really helpful to do that even before the new employees arrive, so that the people who are then integrating them in their teams, or who might be welcoming buddies, or who will be the new colleagues, already know, okay, so here's somebody new. I want to be really mindful that they might need some time to settle in, that they might have a lot of questions, and really take them by the hand. So when companies do that, usually we can see that there's a much more welcoming atmosphere in the whole team. And then, of course, the other side is also important to, of course, also culturally prepare the newcomers. Yeah, give them some intercultural training sessions. It could also be one-to-one coachings if companies just hire individual employees and don't have a whole group. Buddy systems usually work really well. Yeah. So to have an internal buddy or mentor for the first phase, for this onboarding phase. Yeah. Just really creating some sensitivity. Yeah. And if it's a really new thing for your company, so I'm thinking here of the typical Mittelständler, yeah, small or medium enterprise that we have a lot of in Germany, you might also want to already address it when you're in the process of decision making, of hiring more internationals. Yeah. So you really want to be transparent and involve those people that will in the end work with the internationals. Yeah. I've seen it way too often that that is not done, and that then the local staff doesn't feel involved. And especially when there's this attitude of, yeah, but we're also international and we're living globally nowadays and we're modern people. And so this will be easy and just like always. And so therefore, there are no special measures in place to accompany this integration process. It can really create misunderstandings once everybody's there and supposed to work on their tasks. And then motivation can be lost, and that can just all be preemptively helped by doing the right measures and being transparent from the start.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because recently I've been hearing in different workshops and conferences and the like, why don't we just make an integrated system where everyone gets the same training or everyone gets the same onboarding? And I'm like, no, that's not how this works. Like, we have different backgrounds. I need something different than my colleague who's been working here her whole life. You know, like, it's very, very different. And it doesn't mean that one is better than the other or one gets special treatment or any of that. By segregating support, you sometimes are able to provide, or not by segregating support, you're able to provide a more inclusive environment at the end of the day.
Yeah, so true. Thank you for saying that, because we see some companies who say, yeah, that all sounds nice, but we can't do special trainings or coachings for our internationals because they would be getting an extrawurst. Yeah, they would be getting special treatment, and that would be so unfair, and it would create a whole problem with the locals that don't get that. And well, first of all, you can also create nice goodies for the locals. Yeah. Yes. You can also do intercultural trainings for them. You can do English classes for them. You can somehow create a little compensation scheme for buddying up. Yeah. So they can also win something. You can be creative. But also, like you said, it is more inclusive. And at the end of the day, the whole company wins if our international new employees have a good start. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, I know some of those situations as well. It's super unfortunate because, yeah, there's nothing good about it. Thank you both for sharing your insight into how to integrate into companies and organizations in Germany.
Huge thank you to you too. And yeah, it was great to be a guest.
Yeah, thank you so, so much.
Integrating into your new workplace is one step. But the other important step is to also integrate into living in Germany and focusing on building out your private life. Our top three tips to achieve both of these and make the best out of your integration process in Germany include: first, be curious and observe. When you're in a new position, observe your surroundings. Try to understand the company culture and ask a lot of questions. Be interested, curious, and willing to learn and adapt. This is highly valued within German companies. Second, engage in social opportunities and activities right from the start. Talk to your colleagues, go to team events, eat lunch together, and if you're ready for the next step, join a German club or Verein. Third and finally, keep going. Remember that you're likely to live through some sort of a culture shock, and there will be some difficulties along the way. But remember, you're definitely not alone. Try your best to connect with other internationals in your area and don't give up. You can find more information and all the links, for example, to Aoife and Navina's project Growing Together in NRV, in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you like the podcast, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and follow the show. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episode topics, please feel free to leave us a comment or write us via the online feedback form, which we also will link to in the show notes. Thanks for listening. And last but not least, what is your favorite German saying in general or related to working in Germany?
I really like, I lived a couple of years in Cologne, and you know, Cologne is famous for carnival. And also they have their own dialect. And one sentence that I really like is they're saying, Jeder Jeck ist anders, which means that every person is different or different crazy, kind of. But it's okay. So you are okay, I'm okay, and we are okay together. So regardless who you are, so let's celebrate together. And I really, really like that.
Inside Deutschland, your guide to careers in Germany, is a podcast brought to you by the Alumni Portal Deutschland. I am your host, Jessica Schuler. Sound design, music, and production, Stefan Stark and Arne Bergner for Der Apparat Multimedia GmbH. Editing and production, Jessica Schuler, Amelie Baerbott, Charlotte Detich, and Leone Klüssendorf for Der Apparat Multimedia GmbH.